W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A school community in mourning outside New York City after a deadly bus crash involving students and staff headed to band camp. Two adults killed, five people hospitalized in critical condition, believed to be students. 15-year-old Anthony Eugenio was on board.
I heard him start screaming, and then I felt it. As soon as I picked my head up, the kid next to me was covered in blood. I saw blood everywhere.
The bus rolled over and down a highway ravine, authorities blaming a faulty tire for the crash. Ukrainian President Zelensky has wrapped up his visit to Washington with an influx of cash and other aid to continue fighting back against Russia. The White House extending another $325 million for the war.
I thank United States of America and Mr. President for the new defense package for Ukraine, a very powerful package. Thank you so much.
This is ABC News. The UAW, now a week into its strike against Detroit's big three automakers, and we're expecting to hear from union boss Sean Fain this morning. The union has threatened to expand the strike if there's no real progress in talks. Questions swirling around what's next for Rupert Murdoch now that he's stepping down as head of Fox.
He may be 92 and is handing off the reins to one of his sons, but his former Murdoch editor Mark Day in Sydney says...
He's announced that he's standing back, but in the same breath saying, well, I'm still here. And, you know, if you follow the career of Rupert over the years, very unlikely that he will take his hands off the tiller entirely.
The plan is for eldest son Lachlan to head the media firms while Rupert Murdoch will become chairman emeritus. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
And another streaming service is adding ads. Starting next year, Amazon Prime Video customers will see ads in shows and movies. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Van's Bar and Grill in Manitowoc salutes our emergency first responders, law enforcement, firefighters, and paramedics, for their commitment and bravery. They put their lives on the line for us. First responders are the backbone of our country. They deserve our admiration, so thank them for all they do for our safety. This message from Van's Bar and Grill on North 9th Street in Manitowoc. For veterans not with us, may their memory be a blessing. God bless our flag, troops, veterans, first responders, and America.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five minutes.
A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Yes, we're going to use lethal force. Yes, we reserve the right to operate.
He clearly stated he would go in and they'd slaughter the cartel and they would be killing everywhere. He used that verbiage.
Unless Mexico invites us to send our troops into their country, it's essentially under international law tantamount to an act of war to send troops into a country without the invitation of the country.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome back. Once again, a beautiful Friday morning and a Packer weekend coming up. Beautiful weather, 55 in Green Bay right now, 57 in Appleton, 62 in Oshkosh. In this segment brought to you by Pella's Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Now's the time, right now, while the weather is still good, to replace your draft fuel window. Save money by getting some new windows. Pay as low as $19 a month per window, $75 a month on patio doors. They are rated number one by homeowners for the highest craftsmanship. Give them a call for a free consultation. Have them come on out there. They will work so carefully around your house, you will not believe it. As low as $19 per window, $75 per month on patio doors. Visit PellaWI.com. Today, 6.99 APR for 120 months. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Pella Windows and Doors.
All right. Well, thank you, Johnny. Did you like that? I was kind of complimenting you like a game show host.
Yeah, but
thank you, Johnny.
It never comes off sincere for me.
Yeah.
You notice, Todd, it's just kind of like just a throwaway. Thank you, Johnny. Thanks a lot, John.
You did a pretty good job with Dr. Chen. That was fun. So we're going from one genius.
How awesome is he?
He's great. That guy was...
How many times do we say this? The people we bring in are a lot cooler than us.
I know. And then we drive home and we're thinking, we haven't really accomplished much in life.
Todd, you agree?
And then you stop off at the bar because you feel so bad about yourself,
and we sit by ourselves and just
That was a weird thing Todd said today, though. We had a great time last night at Hagemeister, sitting outside. Beautiful night. And what does Todd say? Yeah, you know, if I lived closer, I'd sit in that bar. By myself.
That's what he said.
It's like, so, okay. Yes,
kind of not like, boy, I had a good time with you guys last night. So
I'd be by myself.
Anyway, we have another special guest today. We told you today was going to be a great day. There's an organization in Brown County called Wello. And that's an organization that really has a focus on the health and wellness of our community. And their executive director is Natalie Bomstead. I've known her for a number of years, and she is in the house. Welcome. I tried to get you here a couple times, but with kids and look, you've got a very, very busy life. Unlike Johnny and I.
Exactly.
But anyway, you're here. Tell us about Wello and how things are going. It's been around 5 years now.
Thank you for having me.
Oh yeah.
So Wello is a nonprofit organization located here in Brown County. We really serve all of Brown County and Northeast Wisconsin. Our mission is really to co-create those community conditions that are really fair and just to drive high levels of health and well-being for all. So you can really think of us as kind of your community partner to really measure well-being, think about what things are going really well, where are our gaps, and then how can we bring together cross-sector partners, so from healthcare, government, nonprofits, education, community residents, to really kind of bring people around different strategies that we can really test and then really build on what works and really scale those things that are really going to make real change here in our community.
Wow. Okay. From Dr. Chen to her, this is a tough
one. She's got more on her plate than we do. Yeah.
This is why we drive home depressed. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. What's an example of something that you've done that people like maybe Johnny and I, who aren't as plugged in as you, could relate to?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, on my way here today, I yielded to a bunch of turkeys in the road.
Really?
Right?
There's a city council meeting this early?
Yeah. A bunch of turkeys.
Great dad joke.
And one of our key initiatives at Wello is around yield to your neighbor. So you've probably seen those yard signs out in people's yards. You might be familiar with the program called Frogger. And what yield to your neighbor really is, you know, part of creating this healthy, vibrant community is making sure that, you know, we are really sharing the road with one another, that if you want to walk, bike, if you want to push your kids in a stroller, if you're in a wheelchair, that you can really do that. And you can really go to the businesses, the restaurants, all those places that you want to go to in your community in a safe and accessible way.
Awesome. So that's where the partnership comes in with city government, right? Because you may have to do some infrastructure to address these. Is it called a Wello initiative? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what does that stand for, if I could ask?
Wello?
Yes.
Well, you know, when we rebranded, we wanted it to be kind of a greeting. So
okay.
Wello kind of makes you feel like
hello.
Hello.
Okay. Got it.
Right?
Okay.
And
right.
That we part, right? It's really important. Well-being is about people coming together and creating change.
I remember that. That was at Lambeau Field where you unveiled that name. And I think people were like, Wello, yeah. And then you explained it like you just did. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. You know? And that is, what was it before that?
Live 54218.
Right. And that was, well, we won't get into all that. But that 54218 was the healthiest zip code in the United States. And it was 5 servings of vegetables, 1 hour of 54, not 4 hours of sleep. That's what I have. It was something else. What was that?
You know?
Okay,
it's
over.
One of those things.
It's over. But the 5 4,
which is why we rebranded.
Let's just go with Wello.
It was 8 hours of sleep, 1 hour of FaceTime or whatever they call it.
One hour or less of screen time.
Screen time. Okay. Anyway, you're right. This is a lot easier. Wello, like hello, and it's a happy, healthy initiative that you're doing. What are the things you're working on now? That Frogger thing is great, but what are some other things you guys are doing?
Absolutely. So one of the other things that we're really working on is really developing a really robust food system here in Northeast Wisconsin. So we have a number of local farms. We have really strong agriculture. And during the pandemic especially, we saw that there was a growing amount of people in our community that were hungry, right? And who couldn't access food in some of those traditional pathways. At the same time, a lot of our farms who were selling to restaurants saw that business really kind of dry up. And so we were able to connect our local farms to folks and to communities who are really hungry. That has really, really grown. And really connecting that local produce with local people has really blossomed. So everywhere from in the school system with our farm to school program, really making sure that our schools have that healthy produce on the lunch tray so the students have a really good start, and everything in between. So really working very intentionally with our farms and with those folks who are hungry in our community, linking those things up.
I think that sounds sounds like something our boy Big Wayne would be involved in.
Yes. There are people who have a passion for healthy food for kids, and especially, you know, in some of these areas where it's easier to get an orange soda than an orange, that's not a good idea. Yep. I mean, we need to get those fresh fruits, vegetables.
Yep.
And being so blessed here that, you know, I mean, what, 10 miles away, there's farms.
Absolutely. And our farms are extraordinary, right? And so oftentimes what we look at Wello is what are those barriers, right? And sometimes they're structural, right? So looking at the supply chain logistics, when we have local farms, we need to let our local farms know ahead of time what they should plant so that we have that ready on the lunch tray or we have that seasonality for some of our produce. So by linking these things together, we can create some really nice supply chains here locally. And when we talk about Northeast Wisconsin, there's just a number of farms here all the way up to Marinette-Menominee, all the way down and kind of to the western side of the state. So really trying to link all those pieces together. And, you know, we've started working with, you know, the Madison School District, Milwaukee, really making sure that local food here can get across the state.
So
can I just ask one? Do they donate it or do you buy it?
We buy it.
You buy it, okay.
I was kind of my next question. So how are you funded? Mm-hmm. Because that's quite a mission statement, and those initiatives are big, right? Healthy kids.
Yep, they're very big. And you know, we try to what I always call Braid and Blend funding, right? And so we have a number of, we'll look at state or national grants. We'll look at our local foundations. Our local community has been really, really amazing at really coming together and supporting Wello. So everywhere from, you know, our corporate sponsors to individuals as well.
We're talking with Natalie Bomstead, Executive Director of Wello, which sounds like a phenomenal organization. Really and truly does.
And is your focus all on youth, or do you focus some of your initiatives on people a little bit older? What would be a mission statement for Wello? I mean, it's obviously health and wellness, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we focus on, you know, from birth to death, right? And so it's really important that when we think about well-being, when we think about a thriving community, that really means about meeting people where they're at each stage of that life stage. So all of our strategies, you know, those are going to look a little different depending on what that age group is, what that target population looks like, what those cultures look like, really meeting people where they're at and identifying those specific gaps in what, you know, gaps for them and how we can help fill those.
So you know, I've been to conferences where the general surgeon health. What's the title of that guy that
surgeon general?
Yeah, yeah. And said if he could write one prescription, it would be to walk 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. He said, I'd put that in a bottle and give that to everybody. We're doing okay, I think, for walkable communities in Green Bay. I think there's some areas that don't have sidewalks, and right. I think that's kind of dangerous. And I don't think that incents that. Is that
my
something?
Community.
Oh, you should live
I'm
in the
always
city.
Like, I do live in the city of Green Bay, but we don't have sidewalks.
Oh, you're on the...
Really? Which part of town?
I'm on the west side.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I would agree with you. I tell you, that's a big deal for us because we pushed the strollers for years. And, yep. You know, we tried to... sometimes on Friday, I'd come home and we're not going to use the car this weekend. So it'd be bikes or walking. But you know, I live in Astor Park and that's a super walkable community. But yep. So that's something you're working on with the city council and county board?
Absolutely. So City of Green Bay, Green Bay Area Public School District and Wello really came together several years ago to develop our first safe walk and bike plan. And collaboratively, we've been really kind of chipping away at some of those strategies. You may have seen recently, there's a number of RRFBs going in. So those rectangular rapid flashing beacons across the city of Green Bay. They've actually done a nice job at creating kind of a map so you can see where those are going to go in, and then they turn green when they are actually installed.
What are they?
Just
so when someone comes up to a crosswalk, they'll start to flash. So you have to push the button, though. So push it.
You know, they've got those in Manitowoc in some places. Mm-hmm. I've never seen them here, though, in Green Bay.
And they substantially reduce the risk of crashes and injuries communities.
Very cool.
So Natalie Bomstead, who... Okay, I can't lay you off the air without asking, like I ask everybody, but you know, you have these initiatives that sometimes take building consensus and cooperation. Politics on your agenda?
You know,
you live on the west side.
We do live on the west side. I always say nothing's ever off the table.
There you go.
But I do appreciate just the opportunity through Wello. We do a bit of advocacy, whether it be with the city and surrounding municipalities, to really make sure that well-being is front and center.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. How could people get involved with Wello?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can visit our website, wello.org, or our Facebook page. That's where those immediate opportunities are going to be for you to get involved. And, you know, every other year we have a survey that asks people about how they're doing, and that really helps set the stage for the different strategies and things that we do.
And I will say this, we're going to wrap it up here, but, you know, we always talk about Green Bay voted the best city to live in or whatever, and these are the kind of thing, everybody talks Packers or this or that. These are the kind of programs and organizations that are below the surface, but really make a difference in a city.
That's why people love living here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, we want to get you back here. I think it's a great organization. We need to learn more about it and promote it and really support it, your efforts. Natalie Bomstead, Executive Director of Wello here in Green Bay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
How did you think we did with Dr.?
Oh, that was awesome.
I thought you was going to say that was awful.
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're talking sports injuries with Dr. Bo Ebbins from Bellin Sports Medicine. They're going to be talking Packers with Mike Clemens. Still got a lot to go on here. Right here, Mind on the Mayor. Back right after this.
We'll be right back. spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Akusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Akusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Akusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Akusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Akusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Akusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 78 today, under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows around 61. A blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 75. Low 70s, Sunday turning cooler on Monday with highs in the upper 60s. Once again, high of 78 today, lows level off around 61 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Minor the Mayor here at 7:21 on a beautiful Friday morning in downtown Green Bay. We've got high school football tonight. I'll be doing a little shoot against Fox Valley Lutheran, both with having great seasons right now. Bell and Sports Medicine does so much for local high school sports teams. It's mind-boggling. We have a gentleman on right now who is, I think, one of the greatest stories, Dr. Bo Ebbin. Bo, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning, Bo.
So we're just talking, you are the perfect quintessential test tube type thing for the new wave of doctors and sports medicine experts and things like that. You were an athlete yourself, high school athlete, all the way through, and then you go into sports medicine. Now you're a doctor. Now you're taking care of those same kids who, it doesn't seem like that long ago, you were one of them. So you relate to them so well, and that's kind of the way your business is going right now, isn't it? Former athletes going into this field.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool experience. You know, you were once in those same shoes, and it's really unique. And yeah, love my job, love taking care of athletes. I would be careful calling me an athlete, though. I tried. Definitely wasn't an all-star, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, we saw the pictures of you at Kimberly High. I thought you were looking pretty dashing.
Yeah, I had a lot of good athletes around me, and I think it kind of made up for a lot.
You know, Dr. Bo, I think what, and I read a little bit about you, I think what you're doing, just not just your talent, but I think kids listen better to someone like you.
No
right?
question.
You know, and there's some, we don't want, nobody wants anybody to get injured. And we, even your last week, you're just talking about some very simple stretching things. And, you know, someone who's 16, 17 may think they're pretty invincible, right? Yet, you know, I mean, you can relate to these kids, or is that right?
Yeah, totally. I think your younger athletes these days, you know, they just kind of expect to go out there and, right, and play. And, you know, you do still have to take care of your body and, you know, rest when you have the opportunity and, you know, stretch and give your body the type of support that it needs, you know, during the off season. They aren't invincible, although they can tolerate a lot more than us and then me at this point in time.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is a hot argument among different people, because some parents want their kids to focus solely on one sport with that opportunity of possibly getting a college scholarship. Others in your field say, no, play as many different sports as possible. That will actually help prevent injuries. Where do you stand on that one, Bo?
Yeah, I definitely am more in support of the latter. So I do think that sports specialization. And there's a lot of data and recent research to suggest this as well, but it can be dangerous because you work the same muscle groups, you work the same activities over and over again. And then when you try and go do something else, you're just not ready for that type of sport, that type of movement. And so I think broadening your exposures throughout, you know, adolescence and, you know, your teenage years is really important. I think you're actually a better athlete in your favorite sport as a result of that.
Now that's great advice because, you know, there are parents that are so like, my kid's going to be, you know, the premier
D1.
Player. Right. D1 in this. And you're right. Bellin, you really lean into these youth groups and with injuries, but you do a lot to prevent these injuries. Do you guys deal with some of these kids on nutritional things as well?
Yeah, from time to time, if you're seeing a patient and there's a clear kind of, you know, nutritional component to their evaluation where you're concerned, hey, like you're not getting adequate hydration, you're not eating well. We definitely have groups within our organization that can touch on these topics with patients. I'm not the best person to have that discussion with these patients. You know, I'm dealing with their musculoskeletal injury, but we have excellent folks within our system that have these more comprehensive nutritional discussions, rest discussions, good
right.
sleep discussions with these young patients.
It's all part of making the athlete, right? Hey, I got to ask you because, you know, I see Bakhtari was on again talking about the turf versus grass.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment on that? I mean, you work with youth. Bellin does a great job, you know, helping.
Yeah. Them. Yeah, I think the verdict is still out to some degree. You know, the recent Aaron Rodgers injury, turf versus grass, you know, and kind of an interesting, you know, comment is that there was two Achilles ruptures in week 1 of the NFL. One was on grass, one was on turf. And so there's definitely a less forgiving playing surface. And that coupled with, you know, changing cleats that athletes are wearing these days, there's a little bit less support. And I think some injuries are more a product of what are on our feet rather than the playing surface. But we'll see. I think the verdict's still out, but there's definitely some concern there with turf and artificial surfaces.
But let's be honest, there is no miracle cure. I mean, it's a violent sport. You're making all sorts of different bizarre, you know, contortions with your body. Things are just going to happen no matter what in a sport like that, though, aren't they?
100%. 100%. There's, you look at the whole thing about concussions and that's very much, you know, a topic of conversation these days as we're learning more about, you know, head health and how to appropriately recover from a concussion. And no matter what you do, it's still a violent sport and that's why we like it. And there's a certain kind of unavoidable risk playing.
So no matter what sport, what's your advice to some who wants to stay in shape when they're not in their sport, tennis, whatever it is, basketball, baseball, what's the off season thing to do?
So I think probably one of the most important things I think just gets overlooked a lot of times in young athletes these days is I think a rest period is important, you know, going from one sport to the next sport to the next sport. I think sometimes kids just need to take a break, go do something fun, do a hobby. And then I think when you can't do that and you want to be training, I think you have to cross train. You gotta mix it up, swim, cycle. You can't spend every single, you know, exercise activity pounding on your feet. And then strength train. I think strength training is super important. And you definitely have to mix that in as well.
Outstanding.
Great advice.
Dr. Bo Evan from Bellin Sports Medicine. Okay, be honest with me though, with your dad being who he is, like when you'd have a big final exam coming up, would you kind of like, you know, cram with him? Would he help you out?
I definitely tapped into that resource many times over the course of my life.
Why not?
Beautiful. Hey, Dr. Bo, thank you for, are you at one of the games tonight?
I'm actually not. I don't have any coverage tonight.
Cool. Oh, nope. Nice. Well, sit back and watch me and Teddy Stefaniak,
there you
okay?
Go.
Yeah, I'll watch you guys.
All right. Dr. Bo Evan, Bellin Sports Medicine, thank you so very much. That was awesome advice for everybody out there.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks for having me. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Mine on the Mayor, we come back. We're talking a little Packer football with Mike Clemens. Back right after this.
Where the fans own the team.
This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A school community in mourning outside New York City after a deadly bus crash involving students and staff headed to band camp. Two adults killed, five people hospitalized in critical condition, believed to be students. 15-year-old Anthony Eugenio was on board.
I heard him start screaming, and then I felt it. As soon as I picked my head up, the kid next to me was covered in blood. I saw blood everywhere.
The bus rolled over and down a highway ravine, authorities blaming a faulty tire for the crash. Ukrainian President Zelensky has wrapped up his visit to Washington with an influx of cash and other aid to continue fighting back against Russia. The White House extending another $325 million for the war.
I thank United States of America and Mr. President for the new defense package for Ukraine, a very powerful package. Thank you so much.
This is ABC News.
Did you know the best way to fix a roof leak is to prevent it from leaking in the first place? Hi, I'm Shannon Alberts, president of Security Libkey Roofing. I'm excited to announce our newly trademarked Red Shield maintenance plan. You see, we don't want to just replace your commercial roof. We actually want to help extend the life of it first. We understand the roof on a commercial property is a massive investment, and we want to help you protect it. To learn more about Security Libkey Roofing's Red Shield maintenance plan, go to 920roofing.com or call 920 Roofing today.
People you know, call 920-ROOFING.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGB. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
There's so much that we have to clean up, but it feels so good to clean it up when you win, you know. Like, we're 2-0, and I don't think that we've played at the level that we're all expecting to play at yet, but we're going to keep striving, we're going to keep working and make those corrections, but it feels good to do it with a win for sure.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here on a Friday morning, 7:33. Packer football weekend coming up. High school football all over the place tonight. A lot of stuff going on. And by the way, if you're in Manitowoc and you're not going to football, go to the Wharf in Manitowoc.
Oh, that's right.
The Glam Band is performing, and my young cousin, Jackie Sticks, is playing drums for them for another song tonight.
That kid's going to be
incredible.
What is he, 15?
14.
14.
Yeah. And the Glam Band has been so good to him. They're going to be all over the area. They're going to be in Freedom this weekend. But Manitowoc at the Wharf tonight. They are some of the coolest people you'll ever meet in your life, aren't they?
Love them. Outstanding. Dennis is great. Yes.
Well, let's talk about Packers football with Civic Media Packer reporter Mike Clemens. Good morning, buddy.
Hi, John. Jim, how are you guys this morning?
We're good, Mike. How was Atlanta?
It was good, except that the airport is just is busier than ever. And when you got off the plane and you went to one of the major car rentals, we'll have your car in an hour and a half. They had 60 or 70 people waiting, and they said they were sold out of cars.
Well, so I won't even go into my experience of a couple of weeks ago when I had to rent a U-Haul truck and drive it 222 miles. Yeah.
But Atlanta, that's the busiest airport. I mean, anyway, you're back here in Green Bay. We got the Saints coming into town, but tell us what's going on with our Green Bay Packers and the Saints.
And they're playing the Saints at noon. And so it'll be the home opener for the Packers. And, you know, the Packers have, you know, got some injuries that they're dealing with right now. I don't know if Christian Watson will be back from his hamstring injury. He's been limited in practice. I don't know if Aaron Jones, who tweaked his hamstring in scoring that touchdown in the opener against the Bears.
Right.
By the way, the Bears have had an interesting week, haven't they?
Defense coordinator quitting.
What's the
quarterback
deal with
blaming the coaches?
Is that true, though, that raid thing, or is that just all
the what thing?
Right? Didn't they?
The mayor is correct. There were numerous reports from guys that cover the team that say the FBI raided Hallis Hall and this Alan Williams, this defensive coordinator who quit due to personal reasons, his home. And then the NFL Network came on and said, no, it wasn't the FBI. But apparently there's going to be more to that story. So, you know, after losing a real heartbreaker to the Packers because they thought that they had rebuilt their program, the place is a mess. I mean, the GM had to have a press conference yesterday to get over it. But in the meantime, you know, the Packers have got some injuries. You got Elton Jenkins, your left guard, with a sprained MCL. He suffered in the game against the Falcons. So he's not going to play for the next couple of weeks. So that's what you're looking at. Royce Newman filled in the left guard. I think they're going to continue to use him. And then you heard Derek Carr there coming out of the break, a quarterback who I saw in the preseason. He's a rookie. Wearing number four, passionate, an exciting player to watch. I started to have real problems with accuracy in the last year or two at 32, 33 years old, even though they brought in his buddy from college, Davante Adams, to be his wide receiver. And so the Raiders just moved on with him. So Rich Bisaccia, the Green Bay Packers special teams coordinator, now assistant head coach, he worked at the Raiders along with Derek Carr. And we asked Rich, you know, how the Packers get called for, about working with Derek Carr for 4 years together at the Raiders.
They got a tremendous leader, a guy that can make all the throws. He's always available, you know. He's always available to play. So I'm expecting him to play his best ball.
What do you think of him, Carr? So-so, in my opinion.
I was a huge fan of his, and it appears like his game, his accuracy has just dropped off. And I don't know if he wasn't adapting to their new head coach and the longtime Patriots offensive guy, Josh McDaniels, and his offense. But there he's got, you know, this close friend and one of the best receivers in the league there, and he just kept on, couldn't hit the side of a barn last year.
Right.
And so he didn't have a very good game, even though they beat the Panthers, and, you know, they're 2-0 so far. So we'll see more if he's making any progress with his new set of receivers with the Saints on Sunday.
Okay, I got to ask. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we had Larry McCarron on the other day, and we were talking about one of the keys for losing that just unbelievably heartbreaking game was not having a chance in that 51-yard field goal by Carlson because of the delay of game.
Yeah, right. All kinds of weird little mistakes in this game against the Falcons. Yeah, they line up for what should be a 50-yard field goal, and then they get a delay of game penalty. And Rich he's usually on things like that. And here's what he said about that play.
Yeah, there's not a player on the field. We should have called the timeout at that particular time. But to be real honest with you, I just thought he was going to go and kick it. You know, I was standing right next to the official. So
you never want that kind of stuff to happen. I totally get it. Or is that just
it's happened before. You know, we want to make sure you got 11 in the huddle. You want to make sure you got enough time on the clock to bounce out of the huddle or get on the ball or all those things. So, again, if we want to blame it on a rookie punter and a rookie holder, and that's great. Want to blame it on a 40-year coach, that's great. You know, you just pick out who you want to blame it on and blame it on that person or that group, and then we can all move forward. I know the head coach has addressed
it. Wow.
I think it's a side street to a solution. We feel like we've done a good job this week in the process of all that, and we're ready to play the next game.
That's kind of like an Italian way to answer it.
Yeah.
You want to blame me? Go ahead. You want to blame a young kid? Go ahead. Well, yeah. Who you want to blame? Yeah. Go ahead. Blame somebody.
He said something in there. Blame is the side street to solution. So,
Hey, another guy taking some heat is Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator.
But always.
Well, can you guys name a popular defensive coordinator?
Never. I'm sure.
You know,
I almost got fired one time from the Packers Network for saying that Dom Capers should be fired after Kaepernick tore them apart for the second year in a row. But
you weren't alone.
I know, but yeah. But go ahead.
And eventually they did. You know, I ran into Dom Capers at the Combine in Indianapolis a couple of years ago and said hello. And before he left me, he said, you know, we won the division 8 years in a row there. We went to the playoffs 8 years in a row. That's not an easy thing to do. And you know what he's doing? He was telling me that so that, just as a reminder, as a reporter back in Green Bay, those were good years when he was
legacy.
He was the defensive coordinator in Green Bay.
I was somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
There was a couple things that I thought were pretty interesting in there. There was a couple of fourth and ones that they could not stop. And in that game, the Packers come out to a small but early lead in the first half, made some mistakes in the first quarter. So then you've got Arthur Smith, head coach of the Falcons, an offensive guy, and on the first drive, he went empty backfield. He had the young quarterback Desmond Ridder, nobody in the backfield, and five wide, and the Packers stopped them each and every time with their dime defensive coverage. The next time he came out with more of a play-action look with that Bijan Robinson, who's a real talent that they drafted in the first round, and they marched down the field for the next three series. And so I asked Joe Barry, why couldn't they stop the Falcons when they went back to that play-action setup?
Are you talking about empty, or are you talking about... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, we didn't do a good enough job stopping the run all day. But I think when you play against any team, but when you play against a team like that, that was having success run the ball specifically, I think when you get in situations and you get in opportunities where you can get off the field, where you do have an opportunity to, you know, we had a couple interception opportunities that we missed. Those are huge as the game goes on, because those are the one was going to be huge field position for us from an offensive perspective. The other one, I mean, there's not a doubt in my mind that if Jock catches that, he scores.
Yeah, that was a big play. But what about as far as with Matt LaFleur right now? What's going on with him? He seems a little defensive these days.
Well, he was really miffed coming after that loss, John, because, first of all, everything he'd said to us during the week was spot on as to what they were going to expect from the Falcons. And they had that game in their hands through three quarters,
right,
and then they just could not get off the field defensively. That's one of the things that really frustrated him. Here's another thing that's kind of weird. He kind of asked yesterday, hey, you know, we're like week three of the season already. Why haven't you named any team captains yet on the Packers?
Every year is a little bit different. And I think whether you're wearing a C on your chest, if you're a captain, you're a captain. That just doesn't leave when you take your jersey off. So I wanted our guys to kind of go through the initial part of the season, then we'd reevaluate. And we're going with game captains because I think we do have a lot of great leaders. And I also want to see who's going to step up if we hit some adversity. I mean, we've had a loss, and who are going to be the leaders that kind of rise to the top during the tough times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, Johnny's right. I think not a little bit defensive, but come on. We just some straight answers. But Bakhtiari, right, or whatever, he got defensive. I read some article this morning about him. And where's his head at?
So, you know, we know that it was New Year's Eve 2020 on a practice that he suffered a torn ACL. And he had to have four surgeries in the next 20 months or so after that. He'd only played in about 12, 13 games since that time, most of those last season. But he's kind of gotten into this thing where he has to, that knee, it'll have inflammation. He's had to have fluid drained out of it. And then last weekend, suddenly he's inactive for the game against the Falcons when everything looked like he was going to be on course to play. And what's strange for us, Jim, is that when we're at practice every day and he's not practicing, well, that's beginning to be the norm. He hasn't practiced in a month. So it was a surprise to us that he was inactive and not going to be playing the game against the Falcons. Then that night, his brother tweeted out, who is a former player, something about, that'll show the NFL. Because David had been outspoken on the Rich Eisen show a couple of days after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon on turf. So people were getting him to say on Twitter, hey, Bakhtiari didn't want to play because he were playing on turf in Georgia and he didn't want to risk it. He said, no, that's not the case. I talked to you guys on Wednesday. But then I asked him, how bad is the pain getting to be with this left knee?
I mean, debilitating enough to not play in a football game, I think that's the proper answer. I think if I could, or if it's just something but not enough, I mean, I would suit up and go play. I don't. When it comes to, like, my career and everything, like, you think with what I've done, I want to not play? I think anyone that alludes to that, I think that's funny. But, like, for me, like, it's pretty devastating. I think every game that goes by, I'm not getting any younger. You know, what I want for my own personal self, along with what I want to give to this franchise, like, it's tough.
And then one other thing, of course, you mentioned Christian Watson and the injuries they've had for receivers and now running back, of course. But tell me a little bit about these young receivers.
Well, there's one, John, that seems to be stepping up, and this is Dontavian Wicks. Where's number 13? He was actually played with a hamstring during training camp. But he's earned their trust to the point where they went with the opening play in Atlanta against the Falcons, a team that fired Dan Quinn. That was Matt LaFleur's guy when he was an assistant coach for them, and I think that's another reason Matt really wanted that game. They went with a flea flicker and tried to connect with 13, and they're very high on him. We talked to Jordan Love, the quarterback, on how much progress is number 13, Dontavian Wicks, has made.
Yeah, no, I think he's a really good player, and he's getting better. He's a really smart player. Obviously, he missed a lot of reps throughout training camp and preseason, but you know, you see him on the side getting a lot of mental reps. And he's always asking questions. I think he's just a really smart player that he can pick stuff up fast. And then you see him on the field. I mean, he's able to make guys miss. He has good body control on his routes, and he's catching the ball well right now. So just keep getting him in the loop and keep giving him opportunities to go make plays is key for us.
Very cool. All right, Mike, one last thing. How do you see this game?
You know, they're pretty Packers are pretty healthy on defense, but they're going to face a really good defense against the Saints. One of the best in the league in terms of where they keep the score. You know, they've got a great lineup of guys, you know, like the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, and Marshawn Lattimore at corner, and Cameron Jordan to put the pressure on. And, you know, the Packers have, you know, got these challenges on the offensive line. But it is opening day. And I just think that the Packers can beat Derek Carr and the Saints by maybe a field goal or so on Sunday afternoon.
I would agree. I think there's going to be a lot of energy, a lot of people coming to this game, opening game.
Alumni Day?
Is the alumni coming in this weekend, Mike? Do you know?
I believe so.
That's what I thought. It's usually the first home game. So that's all right. Well, enjoy the game. Enjoy the city. But yeah, I'm picking the Packers, I think. How about you, Johnny?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. All right, thanks for that great report, Mike. I mean, it's who we are here in Green Bay, and you know, no one knows it better than you. So enjoy the game. We'll be talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you, Mike. Take care, buddy. Mike Clemens, our Packer reporter. We get under a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 78. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 61. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 75. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times and dry. Sunday, clouds on the increase. By Monday, low 70s. Sunday, upper 60s. By Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Okay. That's not the music from the old Benny Hill show, is that?
No, it's not. Okay. No, this is just... The song is actually called
weird.
Who Stole the Kishka?
So, of course.
Yeah.
Why are we playing Who Stole the Kishka?
Well, because next Friday...
Oh, we are talking Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
You guys, for our listeners, well, we have a lot of great guests next week. You know, it's this is not getting... Nothing's easy, but people are kind of wanting to be on our show a little bit, Johnny. I mean, and we have some great guests coming up next week. But next week,
I think they just want one of our T-shirts.
Yeah, that's true. We give them a T-shirt.
Did we give Dr. M&M's. Chan a T-shirt?
I don't think we
give
did.
Him one.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we're going to get him back. I know we need him to promote. That guy was awesome.
By the way, I got to tell you a quick thing. So they have these young reporters now for Channel 26 where they cover like regions, which I think is a really good idea. Like Door County has like one reporter. Nina Menasha has a reporter.
Oh.
You know, you get to know the officials and everything a lot better. And the young guy last year for Pulaski, that area, and I asked him, I said, imagine you're pretty busy trying to solve the big crime, huh? He goes, which one? I said, you haven't called the police chief and asked them if they have any leads? He goes, I'm sorry, on who stole the Kishka? He's like, I'll look into it.
Covering Pulaski, that's a pretty easy gig.
I love Pulaski. I could live in Pulaski. That's the little kind of town I like.
I need more than
that. Reminds me of like a Nagani.
We went, yes. Okay, well, all right. You grew up, I grew up in a small city, but I like bigger cities. So, hey, great cities. All these games coming up this weekend. I don't know if we're going to go through all our
picks. I'm going to win our pickup.
But you know what? No, you know what, Johnny? What? I will tell you this. I'm picking, out of the 16 games, I'm picking 11 home teams to win.
You know, I see myself doing that here,
There's
too.
There's a lot of, you know what? And I think that home is worth 2 or 3 points. But I just think a lot of these people are going to win at home this weekend. So if you're in the city, Dallas is going to win. They'll beat Arizona. But
wow, they lost their great defensive back, though. Diggs, ACL in practice.
Jeez.
In practice. All pro, one of the best players in the NFL in practice. And that's why with Dr. Eben, who was so great to have on today, you could talk all the turf in the world. You could talk all the footing, all the cleats, the whatever. It's a violent game with a lot of different moving parts. There's always going to be terrible injuries.
The two big injuries, one was on grass, one was on turf. So, right.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so I'm going to give you my picks real quick here.
All right.
All right, ready?
No, go ahead.
I'm going...
Last night, we both picked San Francisco.
Yes. Okay, I'm going Cleveland over Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee.
Detroit over Atlanta.
Yeah.
Green Bay over New Orleans.
Yeah.
Miami over Denver.
Yeah.
Minnesota over the Chargers.
Yeah.
New England at the Jets. New England beating the Jets.
Yeah.
Buffalo beating Washington.
No.
Jacksonville beating Houston.
No. Yes. I mean, yes.
Baltimore beating Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Seattle beating Carolina.
No.
Really? Carolina going up to Seattle?
Didn't Seattle have some issues?
Okay.
I read about that.
Kansas City beating Chicago.
Of course.
Dallas beating Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Las Vegas beating Pittsburgh.
No.
Okay. Philadelphia beating Tampa Bay.
Yes.
And Cincinnati bouncing back and beating the Rams.
Yes. You have more. I bet you have 12 home games.
I've got a lot. Yeah, I've only got one, two, three, four.
You're right. I have five. Yeah. I have five away teams. You have four. So
there you go.
All right. It'd be interesting. Yet here in Green Bay, a lot going on. There's some great music over at Lambeau. Some pregame things. And then the glam band is playing after the game, right at Stadium View. Yep. I think that's where they are.
Yep. Oh, this is a huge weekend for
it
this
is,
area.
And we got the alumni in town, so when you see them, you know, thanks for, you know, making our city great. There's just a lot of good things happening. And I'm going to be cooking at the homeless shelter, and we're doing shrimp and rice, a little Cajun, and then we're making this New Orleans pudding. So that is going to be fun, too. So I won't be at the game. I know you're going to probably be there, but it's just a great time to celebrate, and, you know, there's a lot of maybe not so good things going on, but we set that all aside and kind of get into the NFL and enjoy that whole weekend with friends and family. It's going to be
partially why we live here. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, this is such a great weekend. Weather's going to be perfect. So much going on. It's why these kind of weekends are, I mean, and people can say what they want. Well, there's a lot more to it than the Packers, and that's great, and that's true. But you know what? The whole country would. Football fans from around the country, if you said, hey, listen, where would you like to go this weekend to watch a game?
Right.
If you can't tell me, about 90% of the people would be, could I go to Lambeau Field? And they would. Could I tailgate? And they would.
And there's a lot more here than just football. But we have football, so let's celebrate.
Embrace it. Absolutely.
This weekend is going to be fun. I mean, the Saints are going to be staying downtown. They walk along the city deck. And, yeah, it's just, and I think, you know, of course, New Orleans is like one of the best, right? Didn't you and I talk about that a month
ago? They should have the Super Bowl there every year.
That's just a great, great city.
Fantastic.
A lot of good ones, but that is a great one.
Everything within walking distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I food and the Southern hospitality, although somebody was saying that about Green Bay, that the hospitality here is great. And it is. I think it is, from the hotel to the Uber drivers, the bars. I think people, I mean, we know we're blessed to have an NFL franchise. I mean, you know, couple hundred thousand people, and we've got, you know,
absolutely
one of the best. So it's nice, and so let's celebrate that. Like, we're grateful that we have the Packers. We hope they win. I think they will this weekend, but it's just gonna be a great weekend to get together, and, you know, to dig up just go online, dig up a Cajun recipe, and let's, you know, we're gonna light the bridges, right? We honor the visiting team by one of the bridges being the Saints colors. And so when we eat at home, it's always, you know, we will have, you know, the traditional hamburgers and hot dogs, but I'm going to whip up something Cajun, too.
Hot dogs or brats?
I mean, brats.
Okay, I mean, hot dog seems way too wimpy for Packer tailgate.
I wouldn't do that.
There's a place in Stangleville that makes the greatest hot dogs in America. Have you ever had those?
I got married in that church right across the street.
Oh, no kidding. That big church?
Yes. It's a beautiful.
It's like the biggest church in the smallest town.
It's a beautiful, beautiful church.
Yeah.
Without lilacs in there, but Connops.
Yes.
Is that.
Have you ever had those, Todd?
I have not.
And they're beef jerky and stuff? And
Todd,
beef sticks?
You go in there and it is, I mean, guy comes in, blood on the hands. I mean, that is just.
It is old
butcher.
School.
It is old school. It is a small, it's not that big,
no,
right?
It's tiny.
And, you know, there's a line of people. You got to grab your number. But just the sausages they make there and
the beef jerky, the sticks.
And the greatest brats. They got Sultz there too they make.
It's what they got. What
Sultz?
You know Sultz.
It's kind of like head cheese. You guys call it head cheese in Nugani?
Yeah, my dad actually used to make head cheese.
Yes. So my dad. We buy it there, but it's called Sultz or head cheese.
You ever have head cheese?
No. My mom made it all the time.
Did she too?
It is great.
Yeah.
That and anyway, that Comps Meat Market is just a great place to go and get just. For tailgate party,
phenomenal.
Nothing better.
It's phenomenal.
Better, so.
Whenever I go up to my brother's deer hunting camp, I load up with stuff like that. They are amazed up there at how good this stuff is. Yes.
I got to go in and ask for the Mino and the Mayor special, see what they come out with.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, it'll be plenty.
Yes, it is so good. You know what? I'm going to stop there one day. I'll get some stuff, and we'll have a little cookout here for one of things.
And then next weekend, Friday, we want people to join us. We got a great
Mad
event
Dog
here.
Mad Dog and Merrill.
And we're celebrating Oktoberfest, which is celebrated in September. So next Friday, we want you down here at 7 o'clock. We're going to have some music, some food.
Have some food.
A lot of fun.
Lots of fun.
Between now and then, yeah, have a great weekend. Thanks.
Yes,
a good
thanks,
show.
Everybody. Thanks for everybody taking part. It's always fun. Mino and the Mayor, WGBW, have a phenomenal weekend. See ya.
Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin plays at an MVP level. They came in ahead of time, make sure they had all of the measurements. When the Pella people left, you had no idea they had been here. You just had the new window. They're great professionals, Gina, and some of the best in the world at what they do.
Right now, pay as low as $19 a month per window or $75 per month on patio doors. Visit PellaWI.com today.
$6.99 APR for 120 months. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Offers end 9/30/2023.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.